the situation on the ground is catastrophic, disastrous. Sometimes, like, there's no words that can describe what is the damage and the destruction and the loss of life and the brutality and the cruelty that is happening in unfolding in Gaza now. It has been challenging for the last 12 hours to contact my own family who are displaced in Gaza for the last two days. And that's due to the lack of electricity, or not lack, actually, like just cut off the whole electricity, which impacted internet connection and the connectivity. So it has been extremely difficult to get in touch with my own family and get to know if whether they are alive or, you know, or something else. The you know, the footages and the reports coming from Gaza, it is so terrifying. It's terrifying, and as a family who's just scattered across the Gaza Strip from the north to the south with married sisters, who've got their kids with them, my extended family in the center of Gaza, my immediate family has been displaced from Gaza to the south of Gaza. So it has been extremely challenging to be able to contact them. The footage, as I said, coming from Gaza is so horrifying. We have been seeing the children heads being stuck under the rubble of their own homes. Paramedics struggled to free their bodies, like, you know, whether they are alive or dead. You know, paramedics being targeted while rescuing these civilians. Medical staff, including my own sisters who are midwives, they're totally exhausted. They report that there is no any health sector in the world probably that could cope with this insignificantly increasing number of casualties. So far, we're almost approaching 10,000 people got injured, reported injured in the last 7 days. This is extreme. This is, you know, very, very big number. You know, mostly there are women and children. As you reported, hospitals and medical facilities being notified to evacuate their facilities. So you could imagine the impact of such news on the population of Gaza. That their medical facilities are being targeted, so there's no safe haven in Gaza. There's no safe place in Gaza. And honestly, where on earth there these people and mass number of casualties they're going to be displaced? So, you know, if you know, as you know, if these you know, soon enough, according to the reports there, that within 24 hours, the hospitals and medical facilities will be run out of fuel. So this means that we will be witnessing a collective death of thousands of injured who are in the hospitals, because, you know, so many now dependent on life-saving machine basically to survive. And then when Israel asks, or, you know, throw flyers from the sky urging the directors of the hospital to immediately evacuate these hospitals, where these, you know, people are, or the casualties are gonna go. We're talking about a displacement order for 1.1 million Palestinians. Gaza is so tiny, packed, you know, territory. Already two main hospitals in Gaza ran out of, like, they're no longer operational. Major hospitals, as I said, like, sending warning messages that the fuel will be run out, no possibility for any support to assistance for the casualties. Talking about, like, over 2,600 people now killed, 700 children, like, 700 children in 7 days. We're talking about 100 kids killed in 1 day. This is insane by Israel. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely, you know, you're right. There almost are no words, and particularly while the international community stand by and almost cheer Israel on in these war crimes, and you know, refuse to really acknowledge what is taking place. I guess just talking about that displacement, and as you said there, the people have nowhere to go. Of course, there was the initial calls on Israel for people to leave via the Egyptian border, and so not long after you know, making those demands, they started bombing that border. There's also, of course, this issue of trying to shift 1.1 million people to the south of Gaza. But as you're saying there, where exactly are these people going to go? There has been talk, and again, it's very difficult to know exactly what's going on the ground because of the lack of electricity, lack of internet. But there is, of course, talk of Israel launching a ground offensive into Gaza. I guess looking at the intentions of the Israeli state, do you believe they intend to reoccupy Gaza, to try and shrink Gaza to, you know, an even smaller size than what previously has been? And do you foresee that happening in the coming days?
Damon, it's really important to sit the ground very factual here. Gaza is occupied and continues to be occupied even before this aggression and war started in Gaza. Over the last 16 years, Gaza people has been under brutal political blockade, denying them their basic needs, leave aside the human rights, denying them access to movement. The water is contaminated for like over 97% of the water in Gaza is drinkable. High employment, unemployment among the young people of Gaza. One in every three kids are now probably, you know, are traumatized, and now, you know, potentially like everyone in Gaza is suffering from PTSD, and like this is even if when the current aggression finishes. So Gaza continues to control every aspect of the people's life, and they're surrounding Gaza by troops, control the air, land, sea. So it's the land and the people are already under military rule for many years. All right. So, but now it's just Israel is intensifying. So the you know, let's put it this way: what Gaza has been going through over the last 16 years with regular bombing campaign, similar or even the one that's been described now, it's unprecedented. But people in Gaza lost thousands of people over these 16 years between dying directly or indirectly because of the blockade and the regular military bombing campaign on Gaza. So it is important for us to set the ground quite clearly that Gaza continues to be occupied. And then if this needed, and I'm very concerned, very terrified, to be honest, of, you know, the ground invasion. And it does seem evident it's happening because of all this deployment of hundreds of thousands of Israeli troops over surrounding Gaza. And I mean, Gaza is totally exhausted. Like, it's not functioning community now, like, because they have bombed the hell out of like civilian infrastructures, hospitals, school, roads. In the last 3 hours, they've been bombing and you know, sending kind of toxic material. I don't know what are these, but people have been reporting suffocating smell in Gaza while the intensified bombing happening. So the consequences of a ground invasion is going to be even more disastrous. I think what's happening in Gaza now, it is genocide by its term. Okay, by every single word. Like, when hospitals, schools, paramedics, families, we're talking about 50 families with 500 family members have been exterminated, have been just eliminated. They don't exist anymore. Homes being bombed at the top of their families. This is not like Israel defending itself. This is Israel brutalizing, committing a genocidal war against the population of Gaza in front of our TVs. We can't say that we don't know. It's every single, like, the videos coming from Gaza is horrific on social media. Everyone can see exactly what's happening on the ground if they want to open their eyes.
It is so correct what you're saying there. I mean, we are really collectively as a, you know, that the world is watching on as we are, you know, witnessing a further attempt at a genocide. Israel using, of course, white phosphorus, bombing schools, hospitals, paramedics, journalists, and so forth there. I wanted to ask you about, I guess, the coverage of this, particularly here in Australia, and the political response of some of our members of parliament. Of course, today, Anthony Albanese addressed Parliament and in a really, I guess, very, there's no other words, but disgusting display of sycophantic support for Israel. There was no mention of, the Israeli war crimes, and instead he totally focused on Hamas and, you know, called for Hamas to unconditionally release all Israeli hostages and condemned Hamas's surprise attack on Israel. Now, Anthony Albanese was once a member of Parliamentarians for Palestine. He is someone that should know the history and should be of conscience. And yet this is his response. And of course, we've seen the same response throughout the Murdoch press and most corporate press. And of course, even within, the public media here in Australia, such as ABC and SBS, but of course, even in the UK and the BBC, across the board in corporate media and in Western governments, there has been very, very little condemnation of Israeli war crimes. And it's really quite striking, as you say there, we're watching on with this, this attempted ethnic cleansing, this attempting genocide, and yet this is the response. And I guess I just wanted to ask you from a personal perspective, how does that, make you feel? How does that make the, Palestinian community here feel when our government representatives, our media, platforms are portraying, what's happening in this way?
It is extremely disheartening. We feel like our voices and our narratives are being dehumanized. And we think that our stories are taken out of context. We think that is the victim being blamed. While all this disheartening political statement coming from our government, it's incredible because we are witnessing Gaza being turned into a city of tent. Like, even worse, Gaza is going to be empty from its people as we can see the consequences of what's coming here, what's happening here. We are witnessing a community that is going to be totally displaced. Okay, we're talking about a community that is, the infrastructure is being massively destroyed, and now we still get a very shy statement from politicians here, like even standing on and support with the victimizers. So it is, and to be honest, until when we, I think it's until we get to the point where both narratives are get the same attention of humanization, we will not really get anywhere on finding a just solution for the Palestinians. The killing of civilians absolutely is condemned, and actually it is disheartening from anywhere in the world, right? But what's happening in Gaza is catastrophic, and it's really important for the political discourse to be just and fair and cover and being human, when covering the facts on the ground.
I mean, just finally, I mean, there's, I guess so much that people can do, and they can perhaps start by just educating themselves on the history of the occupation. But what would you ask of our listeners if they are, if they're concerned, if they're feeling for the people of the occupied territories, for the Palestinians? What can people do, I guess, to show their solidarity and support and to take a stand against what's going on?
I think it's really important, as you said, like to continue to raise awareness about what is happening there. There has so much been written about the impact of the ongoing colonization and apartheid policies in Palestine, and specifically on the continued 16 years political blockade on Gaza. There is not even one single human rights organization, including the Israeli human rights organization, that have not written about the troubling and devastating impact of the blockade and the military occupation and the apartheid policies in Palestine. So important one to educate yourself about what is happening there and make an informed, kind of like act when you express solidarity with the Palestinian people and their struggle. Join the solidarity, the growing solidarity movement worldwide about Palestine, because it is based on justice and freedom and equality for everyone. We, as a Palestinians, wanted everyone to be treated with equal rights, dignity, and we call upon the world to stand in solidarity with us. The Australia-Palestine Advocacy Network here, it's an active political platform that advocate for the Palestinian right. Join the group. If you are in Perth here, join Friends of Palestine, join the Palestinian community. Be the voice of the Palestinians who are being killed silently in Gaza and entire Palestine. So there is much that we can do. We, donate, support the humanitarian crisis, by supporting the people on the ground to, uphold their, resilience, because the need is going to be extremely dire and high in Gaza, even before all this started.